Yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. I pray that you would teach us your spirit and help us learn more about Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. I'd like to speak to you today about from the book of Hebrews. I will begin by reading verses 1 through 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'd like to focus primarily on Hebrews verse 11, chapter 11, verse 6. Paul's letter to the Hebrews has many things to teach the believer about faith. Faith is what makes us different from other men and makes the Word of God alive in our souls. Faith works in us a confirmation to the image of Christ. Throughout the passage of time and in other economies of truth, men have believed God for different things in their lives. One thing they all had in common is that they believed God. Faith is believing God and is a requirement of any man who would please him. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Understanding that the ministry given to Paul during the Acts period is different than what he taught after the Acts period closed is important. Hebrews is written during the Acts period, when the message of Paul was directed toward the grafting in of the Gentiles into the blessings of Israel. The mystery of the church had not been revealed to Paul at that time. As believers, we need to remember to rightly divide Paul's inner Acts writings from his post-Acts writings. Paul said in his last letter to Timothy these words, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." When we understand how Paul's revelation was given to him progressively, we know the meaning of these words. They give us the means and method to understand the truth of God that was given to Paul to reveal. In these verses, there are some important things to remember. Here are some of them. First, we are to study, we are not to be ashamed, and we are to rightly divide the word of truth. Interacts from post-Acts writings concerning Paul. Second thing is we're to use all scripture for what it is intended for. The third thing is know where the truth of God comes from and be completely furnished to all good works. In other words, apply what you know. Rightly dividing requires that we always consider the differences in Paul's interacts when he is bringing Jew and Gentile into one body and his post-Acts revelation when there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Do not be ashamed to do this, because this has been revealed to you by the Spirit of God, who is the revealer of truth. Knowing these things will ensure that the truth of God is applied as it should be to your life. The epistle to the Hebrews is taken out of its context when men do not know how to rightly divide the truth. It is important to look at Hebrews from the position of Paul's later revelation, the mystery, to understand it the right way. Hebrews is Paul's last attempt to reach the nation of Israel with a message of hope that Christ is their Messiah and that the Gentiles have been made part of this blessing as well. In Hebrews, there are things that apply to Israel directly and things that speak of the interacts message of Paul, which is the bringing of the Gentiles into the blessings of Israel. Knowing that there is a mystery of the church to be revealed in the future helps us to understand Hebrews the correct way. Hebrews 11:6 teaches things which are universal about the subject of faith. In order to see them correctly, we first have to consider this verse in its context. When Hebrews was written, the intent of Paul was to get believing Jews to understand that in God's plan, those of the Gentiles who believed were equal with them in Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 24, that Christ had died for all men equally. It is important to remember that this letter is not written to Jews who did not believe. The scripture is written only to believers. In Hebrews, Paul is trying to get believing Jews to understand the plan of God in bringing Gentiles into the blessings of their nation and their Messiah. Their joint relationship, Jew and Gentile, was on the earth. Both believing Jews and Gentiles were waiting on the earth for the return of their Messiah. Paul turns to their history and their scriptures to prove the blessings of God were open to all who believe. This is the main idea of the earlier chapters of this letter. At the time this was written, the secret plan of God to bring all men into a heavenly relationship to Christ through the gospel was unknown to Paul. If you're at all familiar with Hebrews, you'll know that in chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, there is a reference made to the last days. These last days in these two verses are speaking in reference to the returning of the Messiah. I'll give you a few minutes to turn over there if you want to. You see that the term the last days, that is their context. The earthly return of Christ is to set up the kingdom, and that was all that was known at the time Hebrews was written. The appearing at that time was a mystery. The approaching day, mentioned in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where it says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching," is at that time the day of the earthly return of Christ. Incidentally, this verse is quite often misinterpreted and misquoted. Today, after the completion of Paul's revelation, we understand that verse 2 of chapter 1 speaks of the end of the interacts dispensation, It was not understood in this way when the letter was written. I believe that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is a pivotal one in this letter. Paul has the intent in Hebrews of proving to believing Jews that God is bringing Gentiles into the things promised of God to Israel. This is through a new covenant based on the death of Christ. In this covenant, man's requirement is faith. Most of his examples from the history of the Jewish scriptures are before this verse. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, there are universal principles of faith which apply to all men in any dispensation who have true faith. Paul laid the foundation for this verse in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 6 through 14, which I'll read to you. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 6 through 14. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying, and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned by obedience, by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This verse is the background for what Paul says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. In this passage, he refers to the fact that salvation is for all men that obey him, not just the nation of Israel alone. This is the strong meat of chapter 5, verse 14. He said this in Hebrews chapter 5, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, all being all men at any time. The role of faith in the past history of the nation of Israel is presented in the prior chapters of this letter. In Hebrews chapter 3, the testimony of the faith of Moses to the truth God gave him is compared to the way Christ was faithful to the task appointed to him. Believing Jews would have understood this. Paul speaks to the believing Jew of the fact that God is a living God in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, and chapter 10, verse 31. That God has chosen a way to bring salvation to all men, Jews and Gentiles, in Hebrews 5:8 and 5:9. This was done through the offerings of the fleshly body of Christ as a sacrifice. Paul concludes chapter 10 by reminding them of these things so that they would welcome Gentiles into the same task of waiting for the return of the Messiah. This is what Paul said in Hebrews chapters 5 and 10. I combined two verses from these chapters. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The will of God is for men to realize is for all men to realize through through obedience they are justified and live by faith. The common bond at that time for believing Jews and Gentiles was that they accepted by faith that Christ had provided a perfect way for them to have peace with God. In Hebrews chapter 9, Paul tells them this through faith, tells them this is through faith in the offering of his blood unto the holy place for all who believe. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And for this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. When Paul wrote this letter, the unity of faith is what joined the Jews of Paul's day with those of the Gentile nations. They both had the possibility of faith given to them. It was the cross of Christ that worked salvation among all men. Paul said this in the Corinthian letters, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." The lack of understanding the unity of faith is what was behind the problems in the church at Corinth. The Jews there had forgotten the fact that Christ died for the sins of all men. Paul said this to the Jews in Corinth, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." I believe he means those of Israel with the word "you," for only they had the Scriptures. The word "our" means Jews and Gentiles who believed. The unity of the gospel is their intent. Paul, in the last verses of Hebrew chapter 10, has concluded how important believing God is to the Jews based upon their history. "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul," he said in verse 39 of chapter 10. Paul then proceeds in Hebrews chapter 11 to give examples of how faith worked in the lives of men. It is interesting to note that the majority of these examples are from the lives of men before Israel received the law from Moses. I believe this is because faith is dependent upon nothing except a man believing God. Believing God has always been the unity of faith. Hebrews 11:6 gives us three things which are the foundation of faith in any of God's dealings with men. There are three principles of faith in this verse which I believe are universal in any economy of God. The first one is the impossibility of faith. But without faith, it is impossible to believe him. The most important fact about faith is that man, apart from grace, does not have faith. Very early in his ministry, Paul realized this about the faith that he had. It did not come from within himself. I believe he reached this conclusion as he looked back upon the day when Christ called him on that road to Damascus. He realized that Christ first called him. He said this about faith very early in his ministry, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith." Man, apart from the power of grace, does not have faith. Another thing about the impossibility of faith is what Paul speaks of in verse 4 of this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Here, he refers back to an account in Genesis chapter 4 about Cain and Abel. Cain offered a sacrifice that was unacceptable to the Lord. The fact the sacrifices of his brother Abel were acceptable. What Cain did was offer a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground, of fruits and vegetables. These were the fruits of the labors of his own hands, a labor of works, not of faith. Even worse than that, there is no shedding of blood in the sacrifices of Cain. There was no blood offering for the sin of Cain. Cain offered a thanks offering, but no offering for sin, no admittance of guilt before God. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it is impossible for men to come to God unless first they admit they are guilty before Him and need the blood of Christ for their atonement. They cannot have true faith without it. Today, there are many men who will thank God for His provision, maybe even give to the cause of the gospel, but will not come to the conclusion that they are sinners and need to identify with the death of Christ to be acceptable to God. To them, the sacrifice on the cross of Christ for their sins is of no effect. They have no faith. Near where I live in Mississippi, there is a sect of the Hindu religion. They are continually offering sacrifices up to their gods and thanks, small g, gods. These are always the fruits of the ground. No shedding of blood. There is no admittance of sin by them before their gods. Thankfulness, but no guilt. Men who follow the teachings of Buddha offer the fruits of their labors as well. There is no shedding of blood. Many a Roman Catholic and a good many Protestants rely on the teachings of their church or the intercession of long dead men to become acceptable to God. They believe that by doing this, they do not need to personally admit that they are guilty sinners before God. The hardest thing for men to do is to admit they are sinners and need the gospel. The most important truth of the gospel is that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. The gospel only works on sinners. The unbelief of Cain that he is guilty marks all men to this day. In verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11, Paul compares the stubborn unbelief of Cain with the faith of Enoch. Paul says about Enoch that he pleased God. This is a testimony of faith. This is a universal truth about faith. Men do not have it apart from grace, and the unmerited favor of God only belongs to the guilty. The next principle of faith presented by Paul is the coming of faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. The people to whom Paul is writing this letter directly to were Jews. They understood Paul is speaking about their living God. The Gentiles in Paul's day worshiped many gods prior to conversion. One principle that they had to understand and get firmly in their mind is that there is one God and no other. In today's world, there are still men that do not know the one living God. There are still other religions that promote the worship of many gods. There are people that hold to the idea that there is no God, that men just happened and are the product of a self-creating universe, that the earth is our mother and nature is our father. To have true faith, they must understand there is one living God. With these words in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Paul says that no man comes to God unless he believes that he is. What man can come to God without Christ? Yet many men today deny that Christ is the Son of God. There are some men that claim belief in God, yet believe Christ to be a created being. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for example. There are many in the world that call Christ a prophet, similar to Muhammad. How few are there among men that say with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. It is a universal principle of faith today that no man has true faith unless he knows God is and that Christ is God. Paul, in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, explains this with the story of Noah. Noah believed God is and acted on God's word, and so was moved to take safety in the ark from judgment to come. That ark being a representative of Christ, and Noah's deliverance being representative of his identification with him. The next principle of true faith that is given in this verse is the rewards of faith with these words. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the letter to the Hebrews, the reward they waited for is the return of Christ to the earth. The Gentiles, who were part of this blessing, were also to wait with them as you see the day approaching. Chapter 10, verse 25. The reward on which they rested is found in these words in chapter 12. But ye are come to Mount Zion, and to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just made perfect. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It was the obedience of their faith that moved them to claim part of the kingdom that was yet to come to the earth, the kingdom which cannot be removed, It was their reward. In verses 8 and 9 of Hebrews 11, Paul explains the principle of the rewards of faith from the life of Abraham. He lived his life in obedience to what he was told. He went to a place he didn't know, lived in and claimed a land that was not yet his. He did these things in the obedience of faith. The principle of faith is still the same. All those of faith look at their lives through different eyes than other men. They understand that they do not look at only at the earthly things as other men do. They don't desire and are not motivated by the same things. They look for and desire things not yet seen as their reward. Paul speaks of how these saints of the past had a principle of their faith that is true of all saints of God in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Today, after the completion of the post-Acts revelation of Paul, those of faith seek a different reward. The reward of faith longed for by us today is not the earthly kingdom of Christ. Something far better is the appearing of the heavenly Christ for his body, when the reward of faith will be the crown of righteousness, which we look for and claim today as ours by faith. This is the reward of faith Paul looked for. He said this in his very last letter. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. In Hebrews chapter 11, Paul uses for examples men of the past that had true faith. All of these came to faith in the same way. God gave it to them. They all pleased God in the ways in which they used the faith they had been given. They were all diligent in the pursuit of faith. This is the final universal principle of faith mentioned in this verse of Paul. Diligence in the pursuit of faith is an effect, searching the truth of God for more things to believe God for. Diligence is searching the truth of God for more things to believe God for. Men of no faith do not have the privilege of the knowledge of the truth of God. It is not given to them. This principle of faith belongs only to the saints of God. Paul says in this verse, Hebrews 11:6, God, in speaking of God, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. With these words, Paul mentions a necessary reward of faith, that of diligence. This is the testimony of faith that comes from obedience. It is seen in the life of all men of true faith. It is the obedience to pursue the truth of God. It is said of Enoch that his testimony was that he pleased God. The manner in which he did this was the diligent pursuit of God. The last principle of faith is the responsibility of faith. Paul refers to this with these words in verse 6. Them that diligently seek Him. He gives several examples of past saints that obeyed the truth that God gave them. The example of Joseph in verse 22 is one of obedience to the truth God told him. He believed and acted upon the fact that his people would return to the land of promise. He clung to what God told him, even though it was at that time unseen. Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. He reckoned the unseen as seen. He was very diligent in the truth. Today, there are very few that take this part of faith as serious as they should. I know that many years ago, before I heard the call to faith, I considered myself obedient to God because of certain things that I did. I went to church. I didn't do certain things that other men do. By my own account, I was very diligent in the pursuit of God. After God called me by His grace, I soon learned how far off I was in my own estimation. How little I understood about the Word of God. How little I knew about God Himself. I believe that this is the number one area in which every believer is lacking. The diligent pursuit of the truth of God. We are not to be satisfied with what we know and understand about God. I once knew a man named Dusty Rhodes who gave me some advice about diligence with these words. He said, if you come to the end of the day and you do not know more about God than you did yesterday, you have wasted that day. I'm sure he said something similar to many of you. As believers, we need to be more serious in our pursuit of God and in our obedience to the things of God. How serious is your obedience? In many ways, we only know as much about God as we want to know. We can determine what we wish to know about God today, right now. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians about the serious task of obedience. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is diligence in the truth. This is the very reason we are given faith, to be diligent. Paul said this in Hebrews chapter 6 about the responsibility of faith. And I'll leave you with these words. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end.